How's it going? How you been?
Let's get started.
What's scrapping?
Yo, yo.
You are now tuned in to Aljo the Funk Master. Watch your grill, you'll get knocked out cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. Where the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Aljamain Sterling.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps, and I am super, super pumped up and scrapped out, but not really scrapped out, you know, because it was a short time, you know. So it feels nice to get one of those back in the books, I guess, you know, because I was on the receiving end of one of those, and to kind of return the favor to someone else and kind of dub them the next person to kind of ride that wave and to come up and battle back through that adversity. I think it shows a true testament of your skills and your mental toughness. So obviously this is going to be a challenging thing, but I think fights like that are what help build character and really help you stand out and evolve and grow. You know, same thing I talked about with Brett Johns, actually. After our fight, he actually said the same exact thing. He said, I kind of forced him to grow. He said, not even the fight with Pedro. He said the fight with me made him realize the things that he needs to work on. And he got a very big win himself in his last outing as well. So I'm still riding high, man. Super excited, super pumped. And the fight week was different, you know, to say the least. For the most part, we didn't have to do the typical stuff where we come in, we have to sign the posters. We sign about 200, 300 posters sometimes for the fans. And from there, we go do a whole bunch of media. We take the shirts off. We do like the sound bite stuff, boxing for the cameras. We didn't have to do any of those things. We came in, we had to wear our masks. We got tested right away. We filled out our paperwork, checked in to go see the room, dropped off our stuff, and kind of just kicked it at the hotel the entire time. We got our equipment from the UFC equipment team. And that was really it. For the most part, it was pretty stress-free living, not having to worry about going out and putting on a fake smile while you're feeling pretty shitty from cutting weight. So all in all, it was a cool, unique experience, this fight camp, with the whole COVID-19 procedures going on with the UFC, all the measures that the Nevada State Commission was taking to allow us to put on the fights, you know. So very thankful about that. But at the end of the day, it was definitely different not having fans come to the hotel, take pictures with you and stuff like that. So it was, like I said, very unique, more relaxing, more calm. It was just kind of like the hourglass was just ticking and there was nothing else to do but think about the fight. And obviously there was a ton of stuff going on in the world and still going on in the world that was making things a lot more difficult to focus. But fortunately for me, it worked out. You know, sometimes it doesn't go your way. And fortunately for me, it did on the night. So super pumped up about that, man. Super excited. This weight cut was pretty tough, actually. So I didn't work out at all Thursday. Wednesday morning, I woke up at 45, which I thought was a little too high. I'm very skinny, so it's not like I have a lot of weight to lose. People might think like, oh, it's only 10 pounds. But as you can see, there's not a lot of wiggle room in here, you know. So getting down to that, I felt really exhausted and very, very nervous at the same time. So Thursday comes around, Wednesday comes around, I do my two workouts. The morning I did an hour on the elliptical and moderate pace. I didn't go crazy. I put on all my sweats, and then I went into the yard, did some shadow boxing, stuff like that, for about 15 minutes. Boom, fast forward, nighttime, I did another workout, and I was able to shed a good amount of weight because we weighed out at 42 and a half. And then I should have documented it, but I was so lazy about it, man. Sorry. I fucked up. But in the morning, I woke up at 42. So I started the weight cut from 42 on Thursday. I didn't have anything. I just had one liter of water that entire day, and I decided not to work out. I just waited till 9 p.m. I did the hot tub. I lost 4.5 pounds in the hot tub and laying on the bed, the floor flat just going burrito style in this like hyper thermal blanket and laying in that with all the towels over me, coming out of the hot tub, going back and forth. I only went in the hot tub twice though, because it was so draining, so hot with the Epsom salt bath, Epsom salt in the bath. I felt like my body was being sucked dry. Very weird feeling, and it's hard to describe it, because when you're already depleted, sucked out, it can feel a lot worse than what it would normally feel like. So I thought I was only going to lose 2.5-3 pounds in that session. It turns out I get up, I go check the scale, because I was like, yo, dude, I'm done. I can't do anymore. I need a break. I need to feel good for tomorrow to finish the rest of the weight cut. I get out, and I fucking lose 4.5 pounds. 4.5 pounds in that hour session from start of the weight cut to the end. And 4.5 pounds, I go to sleep. I have like a sip of water to help me like just feel better and put my mind at ease and not feel completely dry going to bed like a sponge that was just thrown out in the sun. So the next morning, I floated 1 pound and I only had to do another pound. I got in the sauna. We did that, and we did that for about 30 minutes. I lost the last pound. It's surprising that I was able to lose 1 pound in 30 minutes, but the night before, in 1 hour, I lost 4.5 pounds. So it's kind of crazy how that all works out, but it's different. Obviously, you've got the Epsom salt in there, factor that in. A really, really boiling hot tub where my skin felt like it was melting, and then like, you sit in the thermal blanket, and I was just sweating bullets in there. Like, the blanket, when you picked it up, it was like, not aluminum, but I don't know the exact material, but you can hold fluid in there because it's not porous. So when you pick it up, you can just see all the sweat and the filth of your just body, just gross, just sloshing around in there. I was like, and I was just laying in it, and I was like, I feel disgusting, but I really don't give a fuck right now because I feel like shit and I need to lose this weight and get paid so I can go out there and fight. So make the weight, felt good, rehydrated, you know, the fight, super nervous. And what I was telling people, man, it was fascinating because, you know, I barely slept the 2 nights before. Saturday, Friday night. So Thursday night, Friday night, I barely slept. Thinking about the fight nonstop. Super restless. And all these scenarios that could possibly happen. Me trying to fight Corey by stand up and trying to close the gap. And I couldn't close the gap. It was like a fucked up nightmare. I'm chasing him to get, like, close the distance. And as I'm chasing him, he's tagging me up, coming in and out. I'm like, yo, dude, this kid might be tougher than we actually imagined. So just factoring those things, you always hear people say the fight game is so mental, man. Yes, it is extremely mental because of all these things we think about day in and day out, and we really beat ourselves up. So to go out there and have that type of performance, I remember in the morning riding as I did my morning shakeout, and we finished the workout, and I was telling these guys, I was like, dude, I need you to really try to punch me. And they were trying, and I kept stopping them with these front kicks. And I was just trying to work on my time. And I was like, if I lower my head too much, throw an upward knee, because I want to see it. You know, I don't want to get too close. I need to know. So I was calculating my jabs and my crosses to see where I would be in that line of danger with the taller, lankier opponent who likes the flying knees and the stepping Muay Thai knees. So I left no stones unturned, man. I wasn't exaggerating when I said that. And I think I did a pretty good job with that. And after doing that morning shakeout, I felt relieved. I felt confident. I was like, yo, I feel good right now, like money. Sure enough, a couple hours go by. I take a nap. We wake up. And I look in the bathroom, and I'm just sitting there. My hands are on the sink. And you can't make this shit up. It's like a movie, man. Like, to describe it, how it actually happened, like in my head, I'm legit just hands on the counter. You know, I just wash my face, wake up, just brush my teeth, and I'm just staring in the mirror, just looking into my eyes, and I'm just like going over the scenarios again, just, you know, giving positive self-affirmations again and just telling myself over and over, like, you can finish this guy in the first round. You know, if you get a takedown, just finish the fight. Don't worry about gassing yourself out. Finish the fight. We pushed the limits. We've gone with multiple guys in each round, and they were fresh, and you were still strangling guys. So at the end of the day, just go out there, trust your abilities, and just make it happen, you know. And I had to tell myself this over and over. I was like, you're good enough to win in the first round if you believe it. If you really, really do believe in it and you get him in a bad position early, you can get him out in the first round. All you have to do is trust in it. And I made up my mind. I was like, you know what? I'm going to just try to do this. I'm going to try to do this. We get there. And that was pretty much it. You know, we went over to fight a couple more times in the back room, some positions, some tough situations, clinch work, avoiding the scrambles, stopping his scrambles, stopping the Kimura lock, the Kimura trap. And we didn't even have to use any of that, which was the crazy part. If you guys go back and look at the fight, you see when Corey comes out to a dope song. So I'm in the back of my, yo, this song is actually pretty fire. So I'm like kind of upset that I'm like feeling his walkout song right now. And he gets out. Obviously, I don't see him until I'm making a walk. My song hits, boom. I love. And, you know, I'm feeling it. I'm in the zone, shadow boxing. I'm throwing, you know, I'm feeling confident now. I'm making that walk. I'm like, all right, it's time, man. We gotta get ready to go. And I get there. They put the Vaseline on, you know, got my guys up. Now you take your headband off, take my headband off, take the chain off, all that stuff. So now I see Corey. He's making eye contact while he's watching me get ready. So I'm like, yo, I don't even want to look at this guy right now. I want to see him when I get in there and make the eye contact. You know, do everything and get down. You know, I say my last few words and just, like, you know, give it up to God and the forces, you know, whatever. You know, just, you know, I just hope not to get seriously hurt to the point where, I don't know, just guide me in there, you know, and help me have that out-of-body experience where I'm so locked in into the zone, where I'm so focused, where there's no hesitation, you know, it's just complete, just instinctive reflexes and trusting in everything that we did. I get in there, I jog around, fist bump Corey, I do my cartwheel, you know, do my little Ali shuffle, boom, 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 nice and loose, getting the juice, feeling loose, getting the juice. And then they announce Corey's name and you look over, they're dead silent. You hear crickets, you can hear rat piss on cotton. You can hear the cameraman's cord scraping against the canvas. That's how quiet it was in there. As they were announcing him, I had to clap for him because it was like, dude, what is going on? And I just started clapping. I'm like, this guy's cornermen aren't like, does he not like to be clapped for or something? I'm really confused. And as soon as they turn and they said, and in the red corner, boom, Bruce Buffer makes a turn. And then the whole team is, yeah, you know, they're making noise. We're getting rowdy the Long Island way, just what we do, the Cerro Longo way, man. And they get me pumped up. I feel the battery getting put on my back. You know, they're rubbing my shoulders. They're hyping me up. And I'm just like, yeah, he talks shit about your mama. Go beat his ass. Go beat his ass. Go get your money back. So that's how I felt. Like, it was a schoolyard showdown. His crew versus my crew. And it was one of those, like, well, you guys don't jump in. We won't jump in. We'll just make sure we're going to have a nice, clear, fair fight. And that's what it felt like. So we get going, man. And I close the gap. Boom. Pretty much blitzed him. After we touch glove, I'm like, dude, I'm not letting this guy get an inch of settling in to find his rhythm and find my rhythm and engage my speed and timing. And I think he was shocked by my approach to the fight and shocked by my willingness to just come out of the gate and attack him and not worry about the feel-out process. Fuck the feel-out process. I need to feel your leg and take your ass down. That's enough of a feel-out process for me. And his coach said, he's just looking to wrestle you. And I said, yep, I am. And I stayed on him. He was trying to shift. I threw a right leg kick. He was trying to do the shifting thing, Dominic Cruz style. He throws a kick. I check it. And then I try to return. I miss the kick. And then he tries to bounce out to his left. He does. And then I try to cut him off. I didn't cut him off all the way, but I got back in front of him. And I think he got stuck again. And then from there, he threw another kick that I was able to intercept, almost like a cut kick, and then catch the kick at the same time. And I weaved my head up right underneath and then pretty much muscled him down and took his back. Did a good job defending it in the beginning with the 2-on-1, stopped the neck crank. I thought the fight was over right there. And then once I made that switch, I propped myself up, posted, and propped myself up on my elbow. And his hands were down. I guess he thought he was going to slide out. But I had it cupped so deep on that far shoulder that all I needed to do was sneak the right hand inside and cover my bicep, and that was done. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. Dude, I blacked out. I don't remember any of the other shenanigans, me running around and going nuts. I went apeshit, you know, call it what it is. Dude, that was like really out of character. Normally I just do a little dance and, you know, show my dance inside, my little bit of moves, my grooves, and that's it. But I got into it and called for Dana. I didn't know where the hell he was at. I was asking Dana, where the hell you at? Couldn't find him, but he found me, you know, so I'm excited about everything that happened. It couldn't have been any better than the way it went. Super pumped up about the whole thing. Just the build up. So just imagine a whole year off, a big surgery, the biggest surgery on your head, one that it's very career changing for the most part. I don't have full mobility still. This is where I'm at with my wrist. You know, so it doesn't go all the way up. I think a lot of people, this one is not that bad this way. It's still not all the way up here, but down, this is all I got, you know. So I think I was pretty impressed by how I handled everything. And to come back in such a big way with all the drama coming around, all the media questions asking about the protests and cop crime on minorities. There was a lot of pressure, man. And to come out the way I did, make a statement the way I did, earn the title shot, and take out a guy who was highly touted, who Vegas had as a pick and fight. They couldn't decide who was better. And I think I left no questions after that fight. So super pumped up, man. Now, obviously, I'm here still in Vegas, hanging out at the Airbnb right now. We got Marab coming up this weekend. The following weekend, we got Matt Favola taking on Frank Camacho. This week, Marab Dvashvili is taking on Ray Borg, former title challenger. Big name and huge opportunity for Marab to go out there and really assert his name into the bantamweight division and let everyone know that the machine has officially arrived. You know, we already know what he's capable of and what he can do. It's time that he lets the world know with making a big win and getting making a statement against a guy like Ray Borg of his caliber, his name value, and just all that good stuff. So the team's riding high. We're undefeated in 2020. And these guys got a running joke that out here so far, for 2020, I'm batting 1,000. I haven't been wrong yet. I'm like Mystic Mac, except Mystic Funk. I ignored the coronavirus, and they're like, dude, you completely defy the odds of everything they were saying about the coronavirus. You were like the only one against it who still wanted to train. I booked like the perfect Airbnb. I do the training, and I win the fight the way I did. You couldn't have done it any better, you know? So that's just a running joke. It's just, you're like, you're undefeated right now at 2020. I'm like, you know, so far so good. You know, let's just keep the good times rolling in, you know. So I'm happy, man. You know, pumped up. Right now it's fight week for Marab. Today's Tuesday. The podcast should have been out yesterday. Sorry about that. But ton of media. So there's a lot of hype in the Funkmaster stock right now. So I'm trying to pump it up as much as I can and get in while it's hot. And the T-shirts. People love the T-shirts, so I had to make it. I wanted to put coming on that ass, but I thought it would have been a little too vulgar. Might be a little too provocative, but people were saying, no, you got to do the one where you actually said what you said. I'm like, but I did say both ways, coming on your ass and coming for that ass. So I think we're going to do the other one and just make it just for shits and giggles. Why not? And if people want it, they want it, you know? So either way, it's hilarious. I can't believe I had that moment. Super adrenaline rush and just, I don't know. I didn't know what got into me, but I just wanted to let Peter know that I'm coming for him. That's really it. I'm just coming for you, Peter. So watch out. Bring your butt plugs because you're going to need them. Not for me, though. I'm not touching your ass, literally. But I will hug you. I will give you free hugs. Well, they're not free. They cost something. But yeah, I'm going to give you hugs. I'm going to give you hugs on the night. So take care of business, and I'll see you soon. As Yoel Romero would say, I see you soon, boy. I see you soon. So, we got a big fight card right now. That's pretty much my sum up of my fight week, my fight, and everything else going on. So I just thank everybody who's been supporting me and everyone who has bought a T-shirt. We sold a ton of hoodies, ton of T-shirts. And obviously, those proceeds all go to me. And it's nice and rewarding to see all my hard work and time that I have put into this game finally coming to fruition. It kind of reminds me of like Masvidal when he had that marquee win over Ben Askren, and he just, his stock just catapulted and took off, you know? So I'm kind of in that same zone, but not really as much as him, but the support has been real and I'm truly appreciative of everything. I'm doing the drop shipping now, so I'm not going out one by one like selling shirts on my own like I used to. It's just very time consuming. And I got a guy who's helping me, so we split the profits that way 50-50. And just for him getting the designs and everything. So I'm not a greedy guy, man. Just to have my stuff out there, things that I like to wear and what people want to see and what people actually want to wear. It's nice to have some creative control and to give the fans what they want and the funk band and supporters. So I appreciate you guys. And of course, thanks for tuning in as always. And if you haven't yet, make sure you hit that like button, that subscribe button, and tell a friend to tell a friend. Drop a comment. It won't hurt. And I appreciate you for that. Thank you. but right now, we're going to bring in Cody. We're going to get ready for this fight week. I'm not going to recap the last fight, the last fight card. I really don't want to spend too much time talking about that. Obviously, I spent a ton of time already talking about my fight and my experience. Obviously, we all know it was a phenomenal card. Shout out to Cody Stamann. Obviously, everyone knows the situation with him. If you don't, his brother passed away 2 weeks before the fight. He went out there, took on a very, very tough Brian Kelleher from Long Island guy. Started MMA, pretty much started with him around the same time and used to live with him. So we cross-trained together a lot. And for him to take out Kelleher the way he did was pretty convincing. 30-27 across the board, and especially with a heavy heart like that. So condolences to him and his family, a former opponent of mine as well. So kudos to him. Kudos to Cody Garbrandt. The bantamweight division is on fire. He came back in a spectacular fashion, threw a haymaker from hell from his socks, pulled up his socks, rolled them up to his knees, and uncorked and sat Rafael Sunsal down. That was unreal. And, of course, Sugar Show No Molly. The Sugar Show continues. Unfortunately, I couldn't find him to spark one up, but maybe next time. Maybe next time. And, of course, Amanda Nunes. So there was a lot of great fights on that card. But like I said, we're not going to spend too much time on that. Let's get into the weekly scraps for this coming weekend, June 13th. Big fight card. We got our man Cody right now. Finally cleaning up a little bit with the beard. I see it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I had a couple of shows I had to tape this morning, so your boy's been busy. I finally cleaned everything up after I flipped out on Saturday evening.
Yeah. There's a couple of fights that I'm looking forward to in this one. That Jordan Griffin kid, he's pretty tough, taking on Derek Minor. Tyson Nam, a guy I got to train with down in Hawaii. So he's taking on Ryan Benoit, but there's some discrepancy there. Supposedly he passed via USADA, and Nevada is not clearing him, which makes no sense. It's kind of a shit show. So hopefully they can get that sorted and the fight can still happen. I saw that they announced some news for a guy from Long Island, actually Queens. His name is Zarouk. And he's going to be taking on Tyson Nam short notice, but we don't know yet. It's supposed to be 125. I don't know if Zarouk is going to be able to make 125. He's a pretty thick dude at that weight. A couple of other guys. Charles Rosa making his return from Bryce Mitchell. That was a one-sided grappling affair that I thought Rosa was a much better grappler, and it completely went the other way. Andre Feely, Rob, of course, and the heated rivalry between, or the heated beef between Roberson and Vettori, and of course the main event, Jessica Eye versus Cynthia Cavillo.
I think it's an interesting card. I mean, coming off of last week, I think a guy in a position like yourself is lucky that there is not another super card coming down the pipe this weekend. You kind of get some of that shine coming into this week. Our podcast on Monday only picked three of these fights because of the odds, so there's a lot of discrepancies there. But I actually think it's interesting. So something that's not on here that I missed was the Hannah Cyphers taking a short notice fight. She's kind of like the female Cowboy Cerrone right now, just taking fights left and right. Her opponent is the number one ranked woman coming out of Russia at 8-1. So tough fight there for Hannah Cyphers.
Yeah, especially after that last one. I think she has pretty good stand-up, though. So I think the thing about him, yeah, she's a very tough girl, very tough woman, and to see how she bounces back after that loss to Mackenzie Dern is going to be telling. But I think she was dominating the fight until she just got taken down, didn't know what the hell to do on the ground when her legs were being attacked. It was just like that. What's it? Forget the movie. I don't know what to do with my hands. It was like that.
Longest yard.
My leg being attacked. But yeah, it was kind of funny. So. And it kind of reminded me of Michael Johnson in his fight when he got put in the knee bar. He was like, oh, shit, you're attacking my legs. What do I do? Tap. You know, it's one of those things, man. I think people really need to realize you have to respect jiu-jitsu because one takedown can really change an entire fight, even if you're getting your ass kicked the entire first round. So that's what makes grapplers so dangerous. You know, if you're not putting the person out right away, good luck, man. Just hopefully that takedown defense – and keep up.
Well, on that note, I know you don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think you bring up a good point there that leads into talking about our boy Marab. Wrestling in this tiny cage, what a huge advantage. And especially for you guys after training in the dog pound and, you know, being in a garage training with Marab, I can't imagine the kind of advantage that is.
Yeah, we were talking about that, man. Like, we had the fortunes of training in a two-car garage at Iaquinta's house. And for us to do that, sparring in there for the beginning of the camp and before we moved on to the gym, and the wrestling and trying to fight for takedowns and pushing the guy towards the wall to, like, learning how to cut people off in that tiny environment, and in that tiny environment, learning how to stay off the wall. So we kind of got the best of both worlds, because we're working both scenarios where I was offensively trying to get takedowns and corner these guys, and then defensively trying to get off the wall and trying to use my rhythm to get back to the center. And we worked diligently on that. So this is going to be a very telling fight. I don't know. What do you think we should start? I mean, which ones are we going to talk about? Let's, you know what, man? Let's just talk about the main card. Let's just go straight to Andre Feely versus Charles Jourdain.
Yeah, so 20-7 Andre Feely coming up against 10-2 Charles Jourdain. So via the Tapology rankings, Jourdain's the 44th ranked featherweight in the world, and Feely's the 17th.
Feely is 10-7?
20-7, sorry.
I was about to say, God damn.
Yeah, that would be rough, huh? I don't think he'd be in the UFC at 10-7.
Yeah, I was about to say, how? House way? But yeah, I saw him today. I mean, he's looked like he's feeling pretty good. Told me congratulations and whatnot. I saw him with him and Danny Castillo. I guess Cynthia is no longer training with those guys, right? Because I saw her with, I think she's with AKA now.
Yeah, I don't know who she's with, but I know that she left specifically, I think she was talking about, like, being discriminated against there or something, but I don't want to start new shit, but I know that she did leave there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, his last time out was the loss against Sadiq Youssef at 246 in January.
Yeah. So, against Sadiq, it was competitive. You know, it was a good test for Sadiq, but, I came up short. I think he came up short in the striking department, right? I think the grappling was a little bit more even though Sadiq had some moments as well in the grappling. I think he even reversed him at a point in that fight. So I don't know. It's a tough fight to see how he bounces back. And Charles Jourdain, he had a pretty good fight against Desmond Green in Rochester. I think he took that fight on notice, right?
Yeah, it was about a year ago, too. And
he didn't get...
No, he lost the decision.
Yeah, he lost, but the third round he came on pretty good.
Yeah.
And it almost looked like he was about to maybe push to exhaustion on Desi, and Desi was able to maintain it and get the win.
Yeah, surprisingly enough. So his last fight out was against Duho Choi. He had a second round knockout. I completely forgot about that.
He knocked out Duho Choi?
Yeah.
Shit, how do I not remember
December.
That? I guess, I think he was starting to tag Desi at that third round. And in the beginning, it was all Desi. And I think he started to find a home for his strikes, which was starting to really trouble Desi. And it looked like he might push Desi to exhaustion, because that typically happens in his third rounds. He usually fades a lot. So that's probably what it was. But all right, I mean, who do you like in this one?
I like Feely, and so do the odds makers. He's right now a -235 on Bovada. I like Feely because of the range. I think he does a really good job with the range. We know the Team Alpha Male guys are really good in the grappling department. So I think if he keeps Jourdain at range, I would say Feely by decision. But yeah, -235, pretty heavy favorite.
You know what, man? I do remember the Jourdain kid. I do like him. I know Feely. I've hung out with him before. But I smell an upset here, mainly because I think the striking is going to be a lot closer than what we think, and it's going to be up to Feely to mix it up with the grappling, kind of like he did with, like, Artem Lobov, and for him in that fight, and even against Michael Johnson. You know, so I think if he can use the grappling to his advantage, I don't know how strong of a grappler Jourdain really is. I don't know. I'm leaning towards the upset, you know. I mean, I can see Feely taking it, but at the same time, I'm leaning towards the upset in that. Then We the next up, we have Merab, the third fight from the main event versus Ray Borg. This is a tough fight, very interesting. Obviously, Ray Borg's a veteran, savvy, good grappler himself, really fast hands. His last fight was like 3 weeks ago against Ricky Simone. Teed up on the body of Simone a lot, got taken down a bunch, but was able to keep getting back up to his feet. He's got those tiny legs. Matt Sarr always talks about people with tiny legs, makes it harder to control. Shorter limbs, harder to arm lock. Shorter limbs, harder to leg lock because they can retract them, and it's hard to maintain control of those little guys. Even though you might be bigger, they can fit into smaller situations a lot better than most, I don't say regular size people, but people with longer limbs. Let me just say that. So this is an interesting fight. Merab, you know what he's bringing to the table already. He's a bulldog. The machine brings a ridiculous pace and takedowns for days, you know? So you get out, it doesn't matter to him. He's going to continue press. And he's going to be bringing a barrage of strikes. I think Borg's best way of winning, he's going to have to like try to hopefully connect on something big. I can't see him out wrestling Merab. I can't see him submitting Merab. I can't see him clinching Merab and controlling him. Merab is going to be too strong for him. And obviously with the takedowns, the one thing we did talk about is if he were to get taken down or reverse a position, because sometimes Ray Borg does certain things when he has his back taken where he can spin out because he's so small and get out of these situations. I think he has flexible shoulders where he can fit into tiny places a little bit better than most guys. So we went over a couple of those positions. And again, man, I like to do my homework. So I think Merab is going to be more than ready for this one.
Well, I think you touched upon it there. He's an excellent scrambler. There's a reason that he fought for a title at 125. And I mean, up until the miraculous, whatever the fuck you want to call it, that DJ pulled on him, he wasn't, you know, out there getting dominated. I would actually argue that he was doing a better job than Henry did in the first DJ fight, but he's retired now, so we can't be slandering him on the podcast.
I mean, Henry got finished in the first attempt. So I would argue that, yeah, he definitely hands down did better, but.
I mean, that's like his 10th pro fight, too. So, no, sorry, Henry. But I think
Go ahead.
Go for it.
No, I was going to say, what are the records for this one?
Yeah, so Ray Borg is 13-5, and Merab is 10-4. But they have two common opponents, Ricky Simone and Casey Kenny. And Borg lost the decision to Casey Kenny back in March of 2019, and he lost to Ricky Simone by split decision in May of... obviously the last fight, so
like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. And Merab beat Simone's ass, you know, for, right,
yeah, the whole fight minutes. And yeah
and 13 minutes and 20 seconds, you know.
Yeah, that's so 11-3.
Yeah, so what are the odds on this one?
Heavy. Merab's the heaviest favorite on the card, -400.
Oh. I wonder if someone's going to bet $1 million on this like they did.
I mean, that's pretty safe money, and I'm not going to lie, knock on wood. But yeah, man, I mean, we know, I mean, you know better than I do, but the guy is so energetic and such a positive force that with your win, he's going to have so much positive energy going into that octagon. He's going to be the fucking happiest camper in the world in there.
So much momentum, man. This whole team, I'm telling you, 2020, we're all undefeated. Everyone who's fought so far, even our amateur guys, have been undefeated thus far. So far, so good. We got two guys that won belts, and it's unreal right now. You know, so I think the Saralongo wave is going to continue 2020. So,
yeah. I messaged Pumi. I was like, yo, make sure you're ready. You know, if someone gets sick, you're already there.
Yeah. Next up, we got our co-main event, Carl Roberson versus Marvin Vettori. What are the odds on this one?
So Vettori comes in a pretty hefty favorite, -225.
Okay.
And I think that's actually around the same as it was for the first matchup. So I'm not sure if it changed kind of based on everything that's going on, because I would think a lot of these like extra outside factors, Vettori, the issues that he dealt with coming prior to the last fight, the fight obviously falling off because of the Roberson weight issues and other stuff behind the scenes. I think Vettori's going to come in with so much vitriol.
You could close the names, by the way.
Where?
Yes. I don't remember much about these guys besides Vettori's fight with Adesanya and Roberson's fight with Teixeira. You know, I think they're both pretty talented guys, but I can't call it. I don't know if the odds maker really has it right like that. I know Roberson has a pretty good left hand, southpaw, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think he's a southpaw. So this is a very interesting matchup for sure. Vittori, Adesanya said he has a pretty hard head, which is a good thing, I guess, going into a fist fight. You don't want a soft head. But I don't know. I can't call it. I don't know how the fight's really going to go. I like that there's beef behind it, so that kind of pumps everything up and gets people a little bit more excited. But I don't know which way I would lean in this one. I know Robertson's ground game is almost non-existent. He's one of those guys who, if you take him down, it just seems like he's a fish out on land. And that's not a terrible thing. I think it's still a pretty common thing, but you're starting to see the evolution that those type of fighters are getting weeded out, or they just never get to that next level in their division. So these guys have to really start taking note, man. If you want to make that push, you got to really be well-rounded and well-versed in everything.
Yeah. No, I think I was going to touch upon that point where I don't think this fight's going to end up on the ground. Like, these guys are going to come out and box and kickbox, and I doubt there'll be any takedowns really headed into this.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, sometimes you see these beefs that ends up with them just clinching. So
right. I mean, that's actually how it happens more often than not, is you get excited for something and then it's a 3-round decision. At the end, they're like dapping it up. And as someone who knows the sport, you're like, oh, good, good, good. But as a fan, you're like, man, fuck that. Like,
yeah,
it's like, I want to see some Verdum against Coach Edmund type shit after every winning ceremony, whatever the fuck it's called.
You teeped him, right? Or push kicked him?
Yeah. It was crazy. Fucking, I mean, that's Verdum. Verdum's like 270, 280 probably on the night.
Coach Edmund, fucking what?
Yeah. What was your point?
You said 225?
Yeah, minus 225.
225 for Vittori.
Yeah.
Okay. What were you saying? Your boy who?
I forgot.
No.
Oh, no, yeah, yes, I got it. The point that you made about these guys better smarten up about wrestling and grappling, it's funny because we kind of saw the opposite with Chase Hooper on your card. So just where, like, his inability to get into those wrestling positions really was end up being his downfall.
Oh, we should have talked about that fight. Dude, that was not high level at all.
It kind of goes to show how bad of a kind of matchup that was from the jump, and maybe how overrated Chase was going into that. I mean, Caceres has fought some fucking killers, man. That guy's had he has more fights than Chase Hooper has years on this earth. That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it's it was not pretty to watch at all. And it felt like Hooper made Alex look just as bad in terms of his striking technique, which was hilarious because I was like, dude, I don't know what I'm looking at right now. This is like...
Yeah, it had Remen. It was like Askren Maya.
Yeah, it was this guy swinging these punches and he's had two fluffy hairs all over the place. I'm like, dude, it's like a pillow fight. I don't know what I'm looking at right now.
He's 20, bro. He's 20 years old. It's insane.
Yeah. It's good though, man. He's got a high ceiling.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Let me not say that. But he does have a good ceiling because he's 20 and we don't know how extensively he's been working on his striking, because there could be a lot of room for improvement there. Or maybe he's one of those guys who's just maybe like a Jake Shields, who just never, no matter how many boxing coaches or striking coaches they use, they just never get that striking down where they look and feel more comfortable when you're watching from the outside looking in. So who knows, you know? Yeah. I think it's very early to say, to write him off yet. I think the next outing would be very telling to see if he sits more diligently and really puts in the time there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and physically, he's only 20 years old. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was 20, my body definitely was not the same as it was at 25. So what would that be at 20? Junior year of college? What were you wrestling junior year of college?
Junior year of college, I was wrestling 133.
Yeah. Could you make 133 now?
Oh, I mean, I think I would die. I mean, I'd pretty much die. 136, you know.
So. I know. I saw how tough that was.
Dude, my ribs. I forget how bad it sucks every single time. I'm just like, oh.
That's probably good that you forget how bad it sucks every single time.
Yeah. What was I say? So the main event. Now, I know a lot of people were giving this matchup a lot of shit because, one, let's point out the facts. Calvillo has missed weight a couple of times at 115. She was on the bigger side of that weight class. She's now coming up to 125. Taking on, I believe, the number one contender, Jessica Ai.
Yes.
Yep. So it's a big opportunity for her. Obviously, to be headlining a card after missing weight a few times. And I do believe she – did she lose her last one as well?
So she won her last one, but missing weight doesn't really do it justice. She showed up for 125 at 131.
Who'd she beat in that one, that last matchup?
Vivian Araujo.
Okay. And that there was one she lost in that division.
Well, the fight prior to that was Valentina. So no, she is 4-1 she's 4-1 at 125.
Valentina who?
Shevchenko.
Wait, no, I'm not talking about Jessica. I'm talking about...
Oh, you're talking about Cynthia?
Yeah.
Well, they both missed weight, so I'm half right. Cynthia's 8-1-1. Her last fight was... Oh, it was a draw in December. And that was a 115, and she was 120.5.
Who is that with?
Marina Rodriguez.
Okay, I remember that fight. Now, undefeated. There was a fight that she lost in the UFC, though. Which one was that?
The Carla Esparza fight in December of 2017. It would have been her fourth UFC fight.
That was a strange fight.
I mean, any Carla Esparza fight is a strange fight.
It's always a fight with her. She fights like that. She just fights
like that. It's the face. It just, like, does something to the universe. Like, the second the camera's on, she's...
She gives you the dead stone killer face.
The judges are like,
no motion whatsoever. You don't know what's going through her head, like, at all. I would like to know, like, what she's thinking at the moment. Here, where she's just lips together, nothing.
Yeah, but like, like how Lizzie McGuire has the inner dialogue. I want to know what hers is.
Yeah. So that was your show.
That show was a shit. Are you kidding?
Yeah, and they dumped the movie. I was pissed. They were gonna do like a Disney Plus movie series.
I saw that.
I am Lizzie McGuire.
The Lizzie McGuire podcast.
Yeah. So this is a good matchup, but it's a huge opportunity for Calvillo. I think Jessica has a lot more riding on this to lose. You know, this is like, she doesn't really gain anything if she wins this, and she definitely doesn't gain anything if she loses.
I mean, she's 15-7, man.
Yeah, this is a lose-lose situation for her, in my opinion. And a huge opportunity for Calvillo, but, you know, obviously a fight's a fight. If Jessica can win, she still maintains that number one slot, and maybe she can... I know she wants that rematch with Valentina, and I don't know. You know, it is what it is. So in order to do that, you got to keep winning. It's kind of like Marlon Moraes. You know, you got to keep beating the guys that they put in front of you. The same thing that happened to Chad Mendes at 145. He lost to Jose Aldo really, really early. Got knocked out with the knee, and he just kept taking out contender after contender after contender until the UFC could not deny him anymore for the next title shot. And that's what he did, and that's what he got. So that's what Jessica's going to have to do if she wants to get herself back into that title position against a girl like Valentina Shevchenko, because I don't think Valentina's losing the belt anytime soon.
No. And so what do you think? What would you have that fight pegged at? Odds-wise.
I don't know. I think Calvillo is a pretty tough, scrappy girl. You know, Jessica makes some mistakes with her striking, I think. She's very efficient. But I think when it comes to her defensive portion of her striking, I think that's where she still leaves some holes. But she has added a lot of wrestling to her game, which I think makes things a lot better for her, because she can mix it up, which opens up her offense a lot more. Because offensively, once she gets going, I think she's hard to stop. But I think Calvillo, I don't think she's much of a striker. Like, that's not her strongest suit, but she can strike. I think grappling's more of her game to kind of grind you out. I think if she can get the fight to where she wants it to be in the grappling department, get on top, grind out a decision, I think that's her path of least resistance to victory. But I think Jessica's grappling has gotten leaps and bounds better, and I think if she can dominate the takedown first or keep the distance, I think it's going to be a good night for her. But very, very competitive fight in my book. I don't think the odds shouldn't be that big in my opinion, but I would imagine that Vegas probably has the odds in favor of Calvillo.
is a pick'em. So you were going to say pick, you wanted to say pick'em, but you had to choose something. But yeah, it's a pick'em.
No. I thought the Vegas oddsmaker would probably lean towards Cynthia Gavilla, but it's good to see that it's kind of a pick'em. Again, man, Jessica's grappling has gotten better. I can't see her getting taken down and just being laid on. I think she's shown a lot of growth and improvements in her previous fights outside of the Valentina Shevchenko fight. But Valentina's just a different beast. There's no shame in that. And like I said, defensively, you know, she got caught with the head kick, and obviously that's part of the defensive side of things. But Valentina also caught Holly Holm. So I just think the setups of Valentina are just really, really beautiful. You know, they're very uniquely set up, and I think that's how she makes them work for her. So good fight, man. I don't know. Obviously, people were tearing them down and saying like this shouldn't have been the main event. Corey and I should have been bumped a week into the main event slot for this. But it is what it is. Let the girls get their shine and give the world an opportunity, and let us give them a chance to really show if they were worthy enough. You know, obviously in the UFC, you got to be worthy, right? So I think it's up to them to go out there and perform and really let the world know, like, hey, just because you might not know about us or think that we're good enough, just now you can see that we are good enough and we're here. We're here to fight. We're here to put on a show. But
well, there it is, man. I'm excited. Marab's got a huge fight coming up Saturday. I always love a good Marab fight. Got to support the team, Sarah Longo. And I'm going to throw it over to you. Take us on out of here, boy.
Oh, yeah. So thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. And again, man, I appreciate all the love and support. It's been nothing but love. I'm still trying to go through this thing and get back to everybody, but it's extremely difficult because I'm getting text messages and requests left and right. And as soon as I start one thing, I get pulled in another direction. I need someone who can help me. But, you know, I just want to try to give everyone a thank you as best as I can, or a like or something. You know, so I'm trying, but I'm only one man. I'm just a man. But obviously, tune in, watch our guy, Marab Devalishvili, taking on Ray Borg. Big fight. Good night. And again, if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit, or spin back fist, baby. Boom. Or I'll choke you the funk out. We out.
And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.